The grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, for tonight's sermon, we are going to consider the amazing reality that Jesus, who is both fully man and fully God, who is not two, but one Christ, the God in the flesh, holds and upholds all things. Tonight's gospel text attests to this, but admittedly, it is quite subtle. So as we explore our text, we will also consider other texts that we did not read tonight that will help to make it abundantly clear as to exactly who Jesus is and the astounding, limitless extent of his power, love, mercy, and grace. In tonight's text, we enter a conversation between Jesus and the Pharisee Nicodemus, who has come to Jesus under the cover of darkness, asking questions and seeking answers as to who Jesus is. And Nicodemus, prior to our text, opens up the conversation by referring to himself in the plural, saying, "We know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Now, the "we" here refers to himself and to the Sanhedrin, the religious ruling class of Jews headquartered in Jerusalem, of which Nicodemus was a member. Now, what's interesting about this is Jesus answers Nicodemus also referring to himself in the plural. Now, Jesus says, picking up in our reading from verse 11, "Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen." Now, on the surface, it sounds as if Jesus is aligning himself with Nicodemus and the Sanhedrin and saying, "Look, Nicodemus, I know, and you know, and the Sanhedrin knows. We all know how this works. We speak of what we know and bear witness of what we have seen." But the next verse shows us that this is not what Jesus is saying. For he continues, "But," says Jesus, "you," plural, referring to Nicodemus and the Sanhedrin, "you do not receive our testimony." Okay. Here, Jesus makes it clear that when he refers to himself as "we," that he is not lumping himself together with Nicodemus and his cronies back at the temple. Nicodemus has just confessed, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God." And in response, Jesus essentially says, "Yes, Nicodemus, you are right. I have come from God. But you don't know what you're saying. For you and the Sanhedrin cannot see beyond the earthly veil that blinds your hearts. For you are earthly, and because you are earthly, born of this earth, even though you confess that I came from God, you think that I came from God in an earthly manner, after the order of all men who are born into this world. But you are wrong. You, being earthly, are trying to ascend into heaven and discern heavenly things. But your efforts are futile, for truly, no one can understand heavenly things unless they've come from heaven. And I've come from there. And having come from heaven, I, along with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bring this revelation down to the earth. And together we speak of what we know and bear witness of what we have seen. And that's who I am, the Son of Man, spoken of by the prophet Daniel, wherein Daniel prophesied, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days," that is, God the Father, "and he was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." So who is this "we" Jesus refers to? It is none other than the us, the book of Genesis, wherein God, taking counsel with himself, says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Now, this is the we Jesus is referring to. Therefore, Jesus testifies to Nicodemus, "I not only come from God, I am God. I am the hand of the Lord, and I hold all things. And unless you and the Sanhedrin are born again, unless you are born from above by the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God." No doubt this was a lot for Nicodemus to wrap his head around. He must have left the conversation that night feeling dizzy, confused, wondering if he had understood Jesus' subtle references correctly. He must have said to himself, "Well, wait, did I hear him right? Did he just tell me that he is God?" Certainly his encounter with Jesus turned his world upside down, set him on a collision course with the Sanhedrin. For this we know, Nicodemus became a believer. He became a disciple of Jesus, albeit secretly. He was a follower nonetheless. Now, at what point he was converted, we do not know. Jesus seems to imply that Nicodemus would not be fully convinced of who Jesus was until he saw him lifted up on the cross in the same manner that Moses lifted up the bronze serpent in the wilderness. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Nicodemus would have seen and made the connection and believed that just as temporal healing came to the Israelites in the wilderness by looking at the serpent, spiritual healing came to the whole world, to anyone who would look to Christ crucified for the forgiveness of their sins through faith. Now, this for sure was an epiphany for Nicodemus. But we are confident, are we not, that the Holy Spirit had converted him already long before this, quite likely without him even being aware of it. For Jesus declared the gospel of life to Nicodemus by saying to him, "For God so loved the world that he gave me his Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send me his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in me is not condemned." By hearing and believing, by believing this, Nicodemus, rather than being a walking dead man, became a walking live man. And quite likely, didn't even realize it until he saw Jesus lifted up on the cross. And there, he saw his God who loved him and gave himself up for him by holding not only life and death in his hands, but all things. For truly, St. Paul's confession in the Epistle to the Colossians gives voice to all Christians regarding the person and work of Jesus when he says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Therefore, we are certain and confident, just as Nicodemus was, that when we behold Christ crucified for the forgiveness of our sins and raised from the dead for our justification, we are confident that we are forgiven. For truly, you are forgiven for the sake of Christ. In beholding Christ, we are certain that the hand of the Lord holds all things. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus, even to life everlasting. Amen.